we had been talking about how we make stucker decisions. And I think what we were up to is we had talked about last week about the question of diversification or concentration. Essentially, does it make more sense, more halakhic sense, more practical sense, to give big gifts to fewer people or fewer occasions? Or does it make more sense, more halakhic sense, to give smaller gifts to more people and more occasions? So then we had started the topic after that of what about making decisions between people? And again, one of the points that we had also tried to keep in mind is that in addition to the fact that staka involves balancing two parallel tracks, which usually take us to the same place but sometimes don't, the idea that we want to try to help people, v'yahav tzoreicha kamocha, and the idea that we want to try to develop our divine personalities, v'halachta v'dracha, it's a topic of both last week's parsha and this week's parsha. So both of those ideas exist within our staka decisions, but in addition to that, there's also an additional role here to be aware of, the gabai staka, somebody who's giving out public funds. And we saw already last week there's some differences, that there are some situations which you'll come up with different decisions, whether you're giving out your own money or whether you're giving out somebody else's money. And part of that is because the valachta v'drach of considerations are more relevant to your own latitude, so your own money, you can make those decisions. But when you're giving out public money, you probably have to go more with an objective kind of standard, which is in relative terms, because nothing's going to be really objective. It's still going to be a lot of discretion involved, but something that's more defensible in an objective sense, and therefore your decision-making is going to be a little bit different. So I think where we started last week, we talked about the question of relatives, and we had a couple of points that we're able to see from that, that first of all, relatives is a good example of where it's the opposite decision, that if it's your own money, you should give to your relatives first. And if it's public money, you're really prohibited from preferring your relatives. So it's the opposite decision. And we also saw how, let's say, the reason that you do prefer your own relatives when it's your own money. So we could explain that in a couple of ways. We could explain that in a v'yahav tzoreicha kamocha reason, that it's just simply more efficient in terms of the world's benefit to have people addressed by those closest to them, by those related to them, and then maybe we could hope for some type of distribution that every poor person in the world will have relatives. And it's a way to start. Or also from more of a halachta b'drach of kind of considerations, that there are other things you're accomplishing. So some mentioned, for example, maybe it's kibud av v'aim if we're talking about your parents. Or even if you're not talking about your parents, the values of b'sarcha al tesaleh, that you have an ideal of being helpful to your family, which presumably is an additional consideration, but that's also one of the things that could tip the scales. So another issue that is really addressed by our sugya and Daf Samach Zayin, so we'll see it in a little more detail later in the week, but just to bring it into the conversation briefly now, so what about merit-based considerations? You decide to what extent one person is simply more worthy, whether it's because somebody is a greater tzaddik than the other, whether it's because somebody is more responsible for his situation than somebody else's. So one person could work and the other person couldn't work, so they're both equally destitute, but maybe one has more responsibility for that situation. So to what extent do you factor that in? So that's not an easy question. Our Gemara touches upon it a little bit, so we'll see that more within the context of our Gemara. For the most part, practically speaking, it doesn't seem like that has so much of an impact nowadays. In the Shulchan Aruch, there is such a system that's discussed, of a great tzaddik getting first, a lesser tzaddik coming last. Again, practically speaking, that's not something that we find nowadays so much, but it's interesting that to the extent that such a system exists, so that also flips. Moshe Feinstein points this out in the Tshuva, that to whatever extent there's any kind of a merit-based system, that is only for the gabbai staka. Right? That is only a system that makes sense for somebody who is giving out public funds. But if it's giving out, if you're giving out private money, So you're supposed to prioritize your relatives. And if every individual is giving out their private money, is going to prioritize the greatest tzaddik, so then the greatest tzaddik is going to get all the donations. What's going to happen to everybody else? So here is another example of that inverse. So if we're talking about relatives, so that only applies to private money and not to public money. And if there is a merit-based system, to whatever extent it exists, again, highly questionable whether it does exist in practical terms, but if it does, it exists only for public money and not for private money. So going beyond that, so what other standards do we have for prioritizing within people? And again, for now, let's assume that we're talking about comparable causes. Let's say we're talking about giving to aniyim. So how do we decide if we've already dealt with relatives and we're not focusing on merit? So what other considerations are there in terms of choosing between people? What's the
location?
So location. So how are you identifying location? You're referring to the principle. You're translating the term of aniya yirka, I assume. Right, so perhaps the most well-known principle is the idea that exists in the Medrash and the Gemara. If you saw it above Metziah, it's invoked in the context of halva, of lending money to people, of aniya yircha kodmim. So let's explore that principle for a little while. What exactly is the idea of aniya yircha kodmim? And this is a very significant principle. The Meiri seems to maintain that it's the most important principle. If you saw this, it was on the Marma Komos. It's a Meiri that's actually not in our Sugya. It's a Gemara later in Ksubis, but it's a Meiri in Ksubis, where the Gemara talks about if somebody had made a gift of his money to somebody named Tuvia, and there was more than one Tuvia, how do you figure out which one it is? So in the context of that, the Meiri has a whole discussion about how people generally prioritize things, who they choose to give to. How would a Beis Din try to assess? The Beis Din has to assess who deserves something more, who's more likely to be the recipient. So how do they figure it out? So in that context, the Meiri seems to make the assumption, and if you look at the footnotes over there, so the footnotes emphasize just how significant this assumption is, that whatever considerations would be would only apply to people within the same city. In other words, that he's assuming that the most important consideration is always aniya yircha kodmim. And then, after that, we could talk. If there are two Tuvias in the same city, there are two Tamid HaChachamim in the same city, whatever it is, two very worthy people in the same city, then we could try to figure out who it is. But his premise is that we're always assuming that the people are in the same city. So that's a strong statement. Hi.
That even applies to relatives.
So it probably shouldn't. There are some who assume that to some degree it does. The Gemara itself also suggests as a that for some purposes there is an even greater relationship to a neighbor who you're close with than a brother who you're far away with from. So there is some basis to say that maybe it applies to relatives. Some say that there's an exception for a parent. A parent, again, somebody invoked last week, Kibarade, maybe that relative is different, but maybe even the aniyim who are actually close to you may even have a priority over relatives who are not parents who are farther away. So there is some debate about this, but it seems that at least on some level there is a very strong principle of aniya yircha kodmim. In the later sources, they quote the Tshuva Shemesh Staka, the Pesukei Tshuva, and Yerdei quotes the Tshuva Shemesh Staka as saying that aniya yircha kodmim is the most important principle. And the footnotes to the Meiri that I mentioned just now, so he says, oh, this Meiri maybe is a mocker for that Shemesh Staka. This Meiri who puts such a high premium on it in this discussion, maybe that's the one who really sets the stage to say that this is the biggest deal. So we have to figure out a couple of things. So first of all, is this true even if we're talking about great disparity in needs? So let's say you live in a very wealthy neighborhood. So the poor people in your neighborhood are poor from our De Machsoro standard, but they're much better off than somebody who lives far away who is really destitute. So are we assuming that this is a priority that's independent of that? That's also a subject of some debate. that the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh that we started off with, Ki yihya b'cha evyon, that there shall be from among you an evyon. So that is a discussion as the possible source here. The Hafla was the Rebbe, one of the Rebbeim of the Chasam Sofer. So the Hafla and the Sefer, the Hafla and the Sefer and Ksubis. So the author of the Hafla has a Sefer on Chumash called the Panim Yafos. So the Panim Yafos, in interpreting this pasuk, has a drasha, which is very influential because he was the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer. So the Chasam Sofer has this approach in his Shuvas also. So he essentially says that you understand the idea of priority from the pasuk of proximity, ki yeh b'cha evyon, that there is somebody who is close to you who is an evyon. Right, and the pasuk goes on to say, right, be'echa b'sharecha, starts talking about geographic location. But the word evyon that's there in the middle, so it suggests that the word evyon indicates something about the level of poverty. And that the word evyon comes from the word ta'ev, somebody who needs something. And kol ha-ta'ev, ta'ev kodim. That the more needy they are, the earlier they have come on the list. So when you're talking about that, so you're suggesting that we're prioritizing within comparable needs. So if you have people who are all equivalent to each other on the need scale, so then we're going to start prioritizing people who are closest. Now that's clearly subject to balance, because we don't really function like that, because probably the poorest people in the world live nowhere near us. So we're not completely neglecting the whole principle of aniya yerecha kodmim in order to seek out the neediest people in the world. So it seems like there is some kind of a balance here, that we are working with two competing factors, that we're trying to address the people who are neediest first, but aniya yercha is a factor at the same time, and somehow we're working to balance the two, that to find people who are closest and neediest, whatever the Venn diagram is, that they occupy some type of common space between high on the needy scale and high on the proximity scale, so that's going to be your priority. Before going further in priorities, it's also pointed out by many poskim, not everyone agrees with this, but it's likely the case because it really seems to be a necessary approach, that when we talk about priorities, so we don't mean that we'll make a list, okay, so here are 100 people in the world who need tzedakah, and we prioritize them 1 through 100, and therefore I give all my tzedakah to number 1 on the list until he no longer needs anything. And then if there's anything left over, then I'll give it to number 2. So who knows what I mean? So most of the posts can assume that that's not a productive approach, because then the vast majority of the list is never going to get anything. Most of us are not able to fulfill the needs of even just one item on our list. So if we're only going to address anybody further down once we've totally satisfied number 1, then every other cause is going to be neglected. So what we probably mean, and in post can we find different numbers, like 2/3 or 3/4 or things like that, what we probably mean is that you're going to give a majority of your tzedakah to number 1 on the list. And then what's left, you'll give a majority of that to number 2 on the list. And what's left, a majority of number 3, etc., etc. So the proportions will keep getting smaller and smaller, but you'll try to be as helpful as possible to as many people as possible, with some type of a proportionate system that you'll emphasize most those closest, and then have this declining scale as you go further down the list. So with all those caveats now. So now to zero in on Aniya Yercha Kodman. So why do you think there is such a principle? Why should that be? Why should it be that the Aniyim of your city, let's call it that for now, why should that take proximity? Maybe it's a drasha and a pasuk, but if so, what's the nature of the drasha?
If not you, then who's going to support the people?
Okay, so that goes back to kind of you have the rechimocha as far like we saw by the relatives, that if we want to have an efficient way to make a system, so maybe we should say every other service in life, right, that every city should take care of its own, and if we use any other type of priority, so then one city might get all the attention, and all the other cities won't be taken care of. So unless we say that there's an achrayus of people who are in a proximity, we're going to otherwise really skew things pretty seriously.
Yeah, I was going to say something similar, that in other cities, there are other people who can support those people in other cities, but in this city, other people don't necessarily know them, so...
So that's also a practical, which is also something that somebody raised last week in terms of the relatives, right? In both spheres, it could be something similar to the relatives, that either the relatives are simply more efficient if we assume that everybody hopefully will have relatives and everybody hopefully will have a community, so that will make a more efficient distribution. And that was also pointed out last week, that maybe when it comes to your relatives, you have the best access to their situation, and therefore we can also factor that in, that whoever will know the most should therefore pay most attention to that situation.
Also similarly, if you became a destitute social, you would want people around you to help out. It would be the people who surround you that would be the best responders to such a thing. Yeah. So they know you, etc. So therefore, you should be giving to them because you would want to receive that back.
Okay, so you're making a couple points. So one is the principle of reciprocity, which was also, again, a point made in the context of relatives last week, that maybe there should be a understanding that because we want there to be reciprocity, people who are most poised to do that is within a communal, local kind of structure. But the other point that you made is the point of speed, which is interesting. There is a discussion about this, where Nelson Gestetner has a tshuva in which he considers this possibility, that maybe should we say it's a factor of a mavir and all mitzvos, that maybe it simply makes most sense that we have a principle in general in halacha that one should not pass up a early opportunity for a mitzvah in favor of a later opportunity for a mitzvah. That principle is not absolute, but maybe it's relevant here. So maybe we should say that the idea is that the people who are nearby, you can help them quickest, and the people who are farther away, so you can't help them so quickly. So, therefore, that should take priority, especially in light of the fact that the Gemara suggests when we talk about a prohibition of Baal Ta'acher. And so we know that sometimes one could be in violation of Nisra Daraisa in delaying a donation. So the Gemara says, I think I put this on the Kol at some point, that when you're talking about a donation for the Beis HaMikdash, so then we have a standard, let's say three regalim pass before one violates Baal Ta'acher. But when you have aniyim, you have poor people, so then the Gemara says, kind of aniyim are waiting, you have people in front of you who need help. So that becomes almost an instant violation of Baal Ta'acher. I don't know if I ever shared with you the story about the Chafetz Chaim, about that. When I was growing up, my father, Tzichrono Livracha, would always mention a quotation from the Chafetz Chaim that Friday night, if he was hungrier, so he wanted to sing Shalom Aleichem, so he would quote that the Chafetz Chaim apparently had said that Friday night you should not necessarily sing Shalom Aleichem before Kiddush, because he said that the angels you're welcoming, the angels don't get hungry. Human beings are hungry, so we should prioritize human beings before the angels. So I heard this a lot growing up, and then later on I ultimately came to research the topic. I did see this quoted in many Svarim, this idea of Chafetz Chaim. Most recently I saw a sefer came out recently from Elisha Weiss on Friday night issues and Zmiros and Baal Shabbos and Suda Shabbos and Halakas Neir and things like that. So he actually has this there, that somebody had eaten at the table of the Chafetz Chaim and saw that he didn't sing Shalom Aleichem before Kiddush because he said the angels don't get hungry, exactly as I had heard it. But that I saw recently. But before that, I've seen that there is some discussion about this Chafetz Chaim, this quote that does exist, in different versions. So where it is most prominently presented in a halachic work is in the Dvar Avraham. The Dvar Avraham of Kovno quotes this idea as well. So the one possible disputed point is that the question is, did the Chafetz Chaim say this only when it comes to, say, when it comes to any guest, when it comes to people in general, that you should go right to Kiddush because people are hungry? Or some versions have him that he said this specifically if you have aniyim at your table, that if you have poor people who are relying on you for their sustenance, so then you should go right to it. And the concern is that maybe it's a violation of Baal Ta'achir. If you have hungry people who are waiting for food, and you're going to keep them waiting while you sing along Shalom Aleichem, maybe that's a violation of Baal Ta'achir. So that, there is a discussion in the literature quoting this Chafetz Chaim and discussing whether or not there's a really Baal Ta'achir in this case, or maybe it's not Baal Ta'achir because this is the way the meal normally goes, they're not delaying it, what are the expectations. There's a lot of discussion about that, about the concern that you will violate Baal Ta'achir if you delay giving an ani what he needs by any noticeable degree. There is also in the Chafetz Chaim and the Mishnah Berurah, there is a discussion about the first night of Sukkot. When we say that if it's raining the first night of Sukkot, you should wait before starting to eat, and maybe it will stop raining. So there the Mishnah Berurah writes, but it's different if you have aniyim who are waiting to eat, so then you don't necessarily have a heter to stall the meal. In order to address the sukkah issue, you have to feed them right away. So this is based on this notion that you violate Baal Ta'achir by delaying giving to aniyim who are waiting. So maybe you could say that the issue is, it's a ma'avir no ha-mitzvos, if you're going to say, listen, I'm more interested in helping the poor in Africa, and I'm not going to help the poor down the block, so then it's going to take longer to do that, and the aniyim down the block are going to end up without any attention in a prompt fashion. So that could be. It doesn't seem like it's the whole story. Part of the issue is, I don't remember if I put this in the Marmakomus or not, but there is a machlokus, the tour, and the Rebar Baruch, that when we say Aniya Yircha Kodmin, so what do we mean by Aniya Yircha? Does that mean people who live in your town? Or does it mean somebody who is physically in your town right now? So let's say somebody is traveling from place to place, and right now is as close to you as any resident, but doesn't actually live here. So the Rebar Baruch is quoted in the Torah as saying that's also called Aniya Yircha, they're right there right now. And the Torah disagrees. The Torah says that's not considered to be Aniya Yircha. So it seems like it's more than just proximity, because if somebody is physically proximate but is not really a part of the community in a permanent sense, doesn't seem like we would consider them to be on the same level as far as the Aniya Yircha is concerned.
Does that depend if they rent a place for 30
days? Yeah, so we can define what's called what part of the city or not. But let's say if somebody is just visiting, we have to have a standard at what point should become a part of the community. But if somebody's just visiting, let's we know that they're not qualified to be considered a member of the community by any normal standard. So is that maybe considered Aniya Yircha just because they happen to be here right now? If it's all about speed and it's all about kind of name, it's okay, he's here in front of you right now, he's as close as anybody else. But if it's not really about that, it's about something else, so then it's not going to help the fact that he happens to be visiting here. This, by the way, is going to tie in closer to some issues of Be'machsor, which we'll pick up on tomorrow. But this is,
wouldn't they have called it something else other than Aniya Yircha?
Maybe.
Okay.
You may say that the fastest running is the or that the maybe. I don't know, this might be the fastest way to say it. Is there a better way to say it? Or maybe it tells us about more dimensions. If this is true, so that could change nowadays, and there's more to say about this in a few minutes, but nowadays you can make a donation on the internet in the Global Village and you can reach people around the world in seconds. Nowadays also, you can, some of the way some of the tzedakas work, especially on Purim, you see this a lot, that they have funds that they make available when you call them up and tell them that you have donations. So you could do that from around the world. You could email somebody. You could very easily do this nowadays in Yerushalayim. You could make poor people in Yerushalayim get money immediately with a phone call. So does the issue of Aniya Yircha change from that perspective? But if it's really about speed and proximity, so maybe that factor is going to be greatly diluted today. And maybe factors are going to trade places in terms of importance. So is it really about that? So Pashas is probably about more than that. And one way to look at it is that the Rashi and Bava Metzia, which sounds like this also, that the whole idea of chesed and tzedakah in general is that you try to take care of yourself, and to take care of those who are the closest to yourself, and to try to do as much of that as you can. To try to go into a straight line, making as big a path as possible. I think I alluded to last week, but didn't say it fully, the beautiful words of Shimon Shkup, former YU Yeshiva, and also spent some time in Tells, who writes in the introduction to the Shari Yosher, many beautiful ideas, very recommended reading in Shari Yosher's introduction. So one of the points that he makes there, this is a fascinating point, I think last week we talked about his Kedoshim Tiyu, drush over there, but in addition to that, so he talks about the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which says, Imeina Nili Mili, Uchishani La'atzmi Ma'ani. So how do we normally translate that? We normally translate that as, if I am not for myself, who will be? Imeina Nili Mili. But, on the other hand, Uchishani La'atzmi Ma'ani. If I'm only for myself, then that's not too great either. So we have this constant tension and balance. On the one hand, I got to be for myself because no one else will be. But on the other hand, it's not so nice for me to only care about myself. I got to care about everybody else. So I'm constantly running back and forth between myself and everyone else and trying to satisfy these two tensions, these two opposite considerations. So the way Rav Shimon explains it, he says, it's not that they're opposite considerations. This is all the same thing. This is all the same flow. That human beings have to take care of themselves. And this is something which also is going to come out of our sugya when we get to Hamavazve, Vayavazve, Rosum, Nechomesh, that we have a fundamental priority to take care of ourselves. That is true. And it's true also that if we're not going to take care of ourselves, then we can't expect anyone else will. So essentially, that's the first half of the sentence. Imeina Nili Mili. And this is evocative of what some of you were saying in the past few minutes. We talk about Aniyei Yircha Korban or about relatives, that it's always expected the people who are there on the spot will be the first ones to do it. Otherwise, how could you expect anyone else to do it? So, like we said a few minutes ago, how could you expect anyone to take care of your city if the city's not going to do it? Can't expect any other city to do it. Can't expect anyone else's relatives to take care of your relatives. So too, in a more fundamental sense, it may not mealy, myself. If I'm not going to take care of myself, then it doesn't make sense to expect that of anybody else. So the first priority is to take care of yourself. That's the basic reality. However, you do have the ability to define the term ani in bigger or smaller ways. That ani doesn't just have to mean me, the individual. Ani can mean me and my family. It can mean me and my community. It can mean me and the entire Jewish people. It can mean me and the entire world. And so I have the ability to try to define, depending on my capacity and my generosity and my resources, I can define the word ani in the broadest sense possible. So that's what the whole Mishnah means, that yes, that's normal and necessary that ani comes first. But Kishani la'atzmi. How do I define the word ani? Ani just means that's me. It just means me by myself, me the single individual, and ma'ani. So what is the ani? The ani is not too impressive an ani. But if I try to make the ani as big an ani as possible, that it's an ani that includes as broad a circle as I can, so that's much more impressive. Then we won't say that ma'ani. We'll say terrific. That's a good ani. Ani with an aleph, ani with an ayin. So if that's the svara here, so it makes sense that it goes in a straight line from you. So whoever is closest to you, so we understand family, relatives, and the like, and those who are in proximity to you. And if you're a billionaire and you can be giving that to the whole world, so then we'll expand that to the whole world. But it should start first from those who are immediately proximate to you, those who are closest to you. So then, again, it's not really about geographical proximity. It's really about those who have a connection to you, and that goes as far a line as you can extend it. Rav Schechter often points out in his practical applications of Aniyei Yircha Korban that he doesn't think that it's really about the geography at all, but it's about people who you have a shaychus to, people who you have a connection involvement to, so that could mean the people who you are physically closest to. You'll have some involvement with them for sure, and could also be the people who you interact with, even if they're not physically the closest. And so also, let's say, in terms of supporting Talmud Torah, we'll talk about that separately, but in terms of that as a cause, so it makes sense that you'll support your local schools, but you'll also support the schools that you have a connection to. So if your children went to a yeshiva in Israel, so you'll be more likely to support that, you should be more likely to support that, because that has a connection to you, even though physically it's thousands of miles away. But in this sense of the word, it's ircha, it's in the ircha, in that it has a connection to you. Also has a connection that's hakara satov based, which is also part of when we're talking about bouncing off different factors and different elements that are more personal. So hakara satov is a value which also tilts your decisions. So in addition to the values of staka, when you're dealing with your personal money, so to decide to use that as an expression of hakara satov is also legitimate within the scope of staka responsibilities.
When the Gemara was talking about the acher, it seems to use the argument that we have a neim right here, right now.
Right.
So we're understanding that as here as in the world. Or in our
both. The truth is, it's a good question because it could mean both. You know, one is that the aniyim exist, and therefore it's not like the Beis HaMikdash that can wait till later. It's that their needs are current, right? But also that they are present in your face, essentially, is also a part of it. So I think, depending on the context, it could mean both things. That both things are interconnected. That from a time perspective, there's no justification to wait because waiting will have a consequence. And from a proximity perspective, those who are present are also creating a need. So within that understanding, it's really about your personal expression of how you are a Baal Chesed. So you're a Baal Chesed. This is really more about Valach Debedracha. You're a Baal Chesed in the sense that it's logical that goes in a straight line. You try to make as big an umbrella for yourself as possible. So certainly if it's raining, you have to have an umbrella that covers your head. But if you can make a bigger umbrella, that will cover more heads. So then that's a bigger person, somebody who's doing more. But the people who are closest to you are going to be under the umbrella. And ideally, you'll try to have as big an umbrella as possible. So close to you might cover a lot of territory if possible. There is another consideration, which some suggest is interesting, that there is a notion, I think I put this Gemara in the Maamar Kamos, there is a somewhat counterintuitive notion that if you have, the Torah talks about a mitzvah of Tino Frika, that you have an obligation to help somebody who's loading and unloading his animal, and the Gemara discusses interpreting Pesukim. Now, let's say you have two people who are struggling with an animal at the same time. And one of them is a friend of yours, he's an ohev, and the other is, chas v'shalom, somebody who, for some reason, it's appropriate to call a someh, somebody you hate, hates you, a little bit ambiguous, but somebody who you have an unfortunate relationship with. So which one should you prioritize? So you might think for a couple of reasons you should prioritize your friend. But here, it's almost counterintuitive conclusion. So the Gemara reads the pasuk to say that you should prioritize the sone, the one who you have a negative relationship with. He's the one you should attend to first. And the Gemara says that the purpose of that is that you will hopefully be able to conquer the sin of this way. That by giving to this person, that will help counteract these negative thoughts. Which is a fascinating idea. It's an idea that is very important to be aware of in all human relationships, one that we often take for granted and don't really appreciate, that one of the ways to enhance our appreciation for somebody is sometimes to give to that person. And the more you take care of somebody else, the more you feel affection for them. We think it's the other way around, that we want to help people who we like, but the truth is, it's often the other way around. The Bali Musa point out, the word Ahava has the root of Hav, to give. Later sources refer to the Ben Franklin effect, because Benjamin Franklin once came up with his shtick that he was trying to get somebody on his side, so he convinced this person to lend him a book that he wanted, and he realized that because this guy was doing him a favor, he would feel a little bit more bonded to him. So apparently that works. So the point being, it's what the Gemara is saying, that if you help somebody out, that will help conquer your feeling of negativity towards them. So what is that? What's the relevance for our purposes? We're saying that for stuck up priorities, you should seek out somebody you don't like, doctor. Maybe that might have a role as well, but the relevance in a more abstract sense, as was pointed out by some contemporary svarim, is that you see that one of the things that chesed does is that it creates a more harmonious social relationship. That the more you help people, the better you get along with them. So since you have to get along with the people closest to you, so then it makes sense that your tzedakah should first be directed at them. Because in addition to providing the function of tzedakah, it will also create a more harmonious community, and that's also a value. So then, in some degree, it is about proximity, but it's about the interaction, kind of a compromise, that it's about whatever is relevant to the people who you actually deal with, whether it's because they're physically close by, or whether you deal with them for other purposes. But the people who you need to have a harmonious relationship with, it makes sense that those people should be high on your priority list, because a peaceful society is, in general, high on our priority list. Yes, sir?
So this would seem not to apply if you set someone to give out your tzedakah, because you wouldn't be able to have that interaction with the people you're giving.
Maybe. I mean, he's giving it on your behalf, so...
Wait, you just say, like, give tzedakah for me and find someone.
Right, then it would seem to be an example maybe where that case would play out differently.
Probably true.
Okay, so we're almost out of time, so there are a few more points in here, so probably we'll continue this into next Sunday, and maybe we'll segue into some general halachic questions that come up about stuff and giving. Again, that's outside of our sugya, but we also want to talk about a new Eretz Yisrael, how new Eretz Yisrael fitting, so that should be the immediate next point. Then we'll segue into some other issues. We'll just rehash what we spoke about. I think it's appropriate background for these Aeneas issues. So we'll dive in a second after rehash. But tomorrow we'll basically finish up, I believe, Day Machzoro, and then move to the other sugyas that our Gemara and Samach Zayin brought up, including some that we alluded to today. And tomorrow we have our lunch. Right? So 12 o'clock. I'm here for pizza and to share all your thoughts. And then I'll also be very productive. We spoke about today. So we talked about the various considerations of a little bit about prioritizing merit, whether that applies or not, and how that's one of the things that seems to be the other direction, the flip between public money and personal money. And more about that further on Daf Samach Zayin and Suvis. And then we talked also about the Ne'er HaKodmim, which the Meiri in Ksubis, not in Samach Zayin. Later on, the Meiri says that this is the biggest principle, which is what the Shemesh Tzedakah will later say is quoted by the Pesukei Teshuva. And we talked about how that balances also against differences in needs, the Haflaz Drasha and the Pasuk Yevacha Evyon, and also that the Poskim assume that it's a proportional thing, that you give 100% to number one on the list, but you give the majority to number one, the majority of what's left to number two, etc., etc. And then we talked about why would there be such a principle of Aniyei HaKodmim. Could be a drasha from a pasuk, but either way, what's the reason for it? So you mentioned the possibility of that it's just the quickest, and that Kaimi Aniyim, and therefore it's Baal Ta'achir. She would talk a little bit about Chafetz Chaim, observing Baal Ta'achir considerations and not delaying his meal Friday night, or his meal first night of Sukkot. The discussion of whether that was applied to all of his guests, or specifically to Aniyim because of Baal Ta'achir considerations. So it could be that it's an Eimav Yirma Mitzvah's point, but then we discussed that that would mean that anybody who's physically here first should get priority, and that doesn't seem to be the case. That position of Rebar Bar from the Torah disagrees, and we talked about how would that change things, let's say, in an era of internet donations or even phone donations, which can allow money to be released. Maybe that dynamic would change. And then we talked about other possible approaches, about the idea that chesed goes in a straight line from you to whoever's closest, the interpretation of Rav Shimon Shkop in the pasuk in the Mishnah of Meina Mili Milik Sheni La'atzmi Mani, and the position of Shechler was noted that it's not about physical proximity, it's about involvement, so that doesn't necessarily have to tie to physical locations. And then the idea also that the Gemara says you should prioritize for Tino Frika, somebody who you like less, because giving to them will make for a more harmonious relationship between them, so setting aside issues of hatred, but just the idea that people who you are involved with, you get along better with them if you do more acts of chesed, so it could be that we prioritize them for that reason. So these are some of the considerations for this category. There's more to say about this, and God willing, we will pick up with that in the days ahead. Okay, Asher, share this up.